Let's begin. I want to discuss with you a few inyanim of minog, halacha, and drush, relating to sukkahs. Let's focus today on the dalid minim. And by the way, before we continue, I want to remind everyone that we're going to we're going to have a shiur tomorrow, Miyirtza Hashem. We're not going to have a shiur on Wednesday. Okay, there's no shir, and I think on Chol HaMoed we'll take off. Bein Hazmanim. If there was a Friday, I would like, you know, we have a Friday, it would be nice, like Erev Shabbos, but there's no real Friday because of Shana Rab, we can't have a shir, it's out of the question, and it's not going to work out the other day. So the best thing is we'll just take a break until after Yom Tif, the last day is a Shabbos Parash Bereishis, so then we'll resume on Monday, the Monday after Shabbos Bereishis. Okay, so again, tomorrow there's a shiur, and that will be the last shiur. Wait, where are you making Kiddush? Shmini Atzeres.
In our backyard, in our driveway. Ronnie will tell you about it.
Where do you live?
Just follow the crowd.
Okay.
We finish about 12:15.
Someone gets served at 12:30. It's delicious.
Okay, let's. Tomorrow is the last share. Tomorrow's the last share, and then we'll vacation. Bein Hazmanim. The Koilel has Bein Hazmanim. Okay, let's do some inyanim relating to the Dalid Minim. Okay, the first question is. We know that we make a bracha on the lulav. We make a bracha, we turn the estrog upside down, and then we mekayim the mitzvah with al netilas lulav. And then we shake the lulav in six directions. So we'll discuss some of the how to shake in a few moments. The question that the achreinim debate at great length is the shaking of the lulav a chelik of the mitzvah? Okay, that's the first question that we have to debate. The second question we have to debate is, when we shake the lulav during halal, is that also a chelik of the ikar hamitzvah? And I'll give you nafka minis in a few moments. And then the next question is, when we take the lulav and estrog and we walk around the bima at the time of Hashanis, is that also a chelik of the mitzvah? Let's clearly define what are the parameters of the mitzvah. What will be some nafka minis? Well, let's talk about, let's jump to the end, Hashanis. When you go Hashanis, when you hold the lulav and estrog, there's a way to hold it. If you are a righty, you hold the lulav in your right hand, and you hold the estrog in your left hand. The reason why you hold the lulav in the right hand is because the lulav has the majority of the mitzvos, tadas and the aravos, and the estrog in your left hand. You're lefty, so you hold everything. You hold the lulav in your left hand, and the estrog in your right hand. You're supposed to hold in two hands, and there's a way to hold. You're supposed to put it together. You're supposed to put it together and hold each one in a separate hand. When you do Hashanis, it's not so easy to hold the lulav and the estrog in two hands and say the Hashanis. Where are you going to hold the siddur? Right. So today it became very popular where they have things that you wrap around your sleeve, or there's a clip you hang up. I don't know. They hang on the lulav. That's not nice. That's that. You hang on the lulav. That's not proper. All right. You put it on your sleeve, on your talis. You hang it on the guy in front of you. You hang it on the guy in front of you. On the guy, right? Okay. So the question is that a requirement? So believe it or not, it's machlekes apayiskim. I can't remember all the different opinions, all the different gedolei yisrael, what they did. I'm quoting everything because everything I'm telling you now is coming from the Sefer Simchas Moadim by Rav Simcha Hollander, and he has an NSA investigation of what the gedolei yisrael, all the gedolei yisrael did, and he lists off the various minhagim. But he basically says chalukei deis if during the Hashanis there is bechlal and inyan altogether of holding the lulav and estrog in two separate hands, because everyone agrees hakol moedim. The point we want to make is holding the lulav and the estrog during Hashanahs is not part of the ikar mitzvah. The Ikar Mitzvah ends with shaking at some point in time, but it's not the end. What is the proof? Because in the Beis HaMikdash they did not do this. In the Beis HaMikdash they only walked around the Mizbeach with the Arava. There is no Makar to walk around the Mizbeach, the Bima, which we consider to be in place of the Mizbeach, where the Sevatar to be only Kohanim could be right, only Kohanim. So therefore what we do is just Zecher LeMikdash, and we don't have our Ravas, so the best we can do is, since in the Lulav there is the Arava, so we take the Dalim and we walk around the Bima with the Sefer Torah, but it's only a Minog, it's not the Ikar Hadin. Therefore you don't have to be Machmir to hold the Lulav and Esrog in the proper way, as if you're doing the Mitzvah, you have no choice, you must hold it with two hands. If you're not doing the Ikar Mitzvah, you're just walking around. When you're walking around, you do not have to hold. You do not have to hold in two hands. You can hold both in one hand, and you can hold a sitter in the other hand. And in fact, he writes that that's how Rav Eliashiv Zechasak Levracha in his younger years. Not talking about when he was 100 years old, when he was a young man and he was bekeicha, in his full keicha, and he could have went and held it in both hands. He had no hakpada. He held, it's not the ikar hadin, it's a minig, and you don't have to go make yourself mishug. You do see people that do this. I've seen people that do this. They're very, very religious about walking around holding it in the right and the left. It's a nice thing, but it's not a requirement. Okay, so let's now step backwards. Now let's go to halal. When you shake the lulav and eshrog during halal, is that part of the Ikar HaMitzvah? L'may nafka mina, and this is fascinating to me, I never knew all these interesting fine points, is when you there should not be a bracha. When I grew up as a child, okay, I grew up in Lower East Side, in Young Israel, so everyone made the bracha, the mamish, the moment before halal. You take out the Dalad Minim, you finish the Varech Zalei Shabbat Shalom, and before the Chazan begins, Baruch Atah Hashem, everyone chap very quickly. They take out the Lulav and the Yashrog, and they make the bracha, and everyone's shaking, and before you have a chance to finish shaking, already the Chazan, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, he's already up to, he begins to, even on Shabbos, even on Yom Tif, he already makes the bracha. And there's mamish no room to breathe. Hanach lahem li Yisraelim, enem nevim b'nei nevim, yeah?
And I saw an interesting thing that everyone goes out to the sukkah.
Okay, that's what I'm coming to. As I got older and I expanded my horizons, I went out to different shuls. I saw not everyone does like they did in the Lower East Side and the Tzairi Agudas Yisrael, like in the Young Israel. There's a break, they're very laid back. Shacharis is over. Oh, they lay back, they take out the Lulav and the Esrog, they go to the Sukkah, they make the Arizal says you should make the Bracha in the Sukkah, you should combine the Lulav, the Dam, the Sukkah, they go to the Sukkah, this one's not ready, that one's not ready, they come back, they put it on the table, they have a conversation, they talk about the market, talk about maybe if you've been Tari, you say a Dvar Torah, and it's a conversation, and you get into a little bit of a fight. And you're doing all different things, even among all different types of customs.
Yeah, but the Ikar Mitzvah is by Netzach Hanah.
Oh, not so simple. We're getting there. Let's one thing at a time. Oh, so what do they then do? Okay, so they passed it around. They made the bracha. But we're getting there. One thing at a time. One thing at a time. So believe it or not, there are many Rishonim that hold that shaking the lulav during halal, and this was really mashlam the Ramban, is a chelik of the Ikar HaMitzvah. The mitzvah is not just Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kedoshanu B'mitzvos V'Sedekah Tilas Lulav. Got it. I'm holding it. I don't have to shake. Just holding is the mitzvah. It doesn't say in the Torah you have to shake. The Rabbanan said, shake. Oh, you're going to shake. How many times are you going to shake? Oh, I'm going to shake this way and that way and that way, up and down, all different configurations and ways. We'll discuss a little bit more about that soon. Oh, you mean that? That's also part of the mitzvah. And then there's another part of the mitzvah is that you should say halal. This somachta lifnei Hashem Elokecha. What does it say in the pasuk? Ulekachtem lachem bayom harishon priyetsa the kapos from anath etzav vos arve nachal. This somachta halya lifsmachtem usmachtem lifnei Hashem Elokechem. Shivasam. You have to rejoice. The simcha. What's rejoice? Ain't simcha. Your simcha is lifnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. You have to say halal, and you have to shake it when you say Hodu Hashem. kitav kili elam chasto. You have to shake. That's an ikur chelik of the mitzvah ad kidei kach. This is a fascinating chiddush, and this goes to show Hanach people are always doing new things, and when they do the new things, they don't realize that it's in their blood to do what's the ikur hadin. Hanach lachem lishom enovim b'neinovim is it's a chelik of the bracha, and you're not allowed to be mafsik. It's mamish a hefsek, according to some opinions, to make the bracha on the lulav and to shake and to wait. You should make the bracha, shake, and immediately begin the hallel, so that the hallel that you're going to say is the chelik of the bracha asher kiddushon b'mitzvos v'tzivanu al netilas lulav. It's unbelievable. It totally changes the davening, because then there's no excuse to go out to the sukkah. Going to the sukkah you do later. You can go take the adal and you go into the sukkah and you can shake the lulav and kind of the arizah's kabbalah. To go shake the adal in the sukkah, this is not halacha. This is kabbalah. Kabbalah, so he says here, from Poiskim, oh, you want to do kabbalah? Do it later. Do it. Don't forget the ikar hadin. The ikar hadin is to make the bracha. The bracha is a smachtem, and the smachtem is fulfilled with halal when you shake during haidu, and that's what it says in the Rambam. And therefore the bracha goes on the halal also, and therefore there should be no hefsek. Like what we used to do when you were children. The old way. Not all these new things that everyone is taking breaks and having conversations and playing games and all these new innovations that we've come to add to the Beis HaKnesses.
But what's the thing that the Bar Netzach coming?
They didn't have sukkahs nearby. In the Lower East Side, you had
a... Okay, you don't have a sukkah nearby? Okay, that's...
I know a guy
you
used to
have two brachas. You have a separate bracha.
What bracha? On halal, you have a separate bracha. But in Echnam, you have a bracha, you have a shechayana the first day also. You make the bracha on the low, you make a shechayana, you make a bracha on halal. But it's all one continuous hemshech. Fascinating is so if you accept this opinion that the halal, the shaking during halal, is a chelik of the mitzvah. Now I'll bring you right to this yisoid. The right to this yisoid is what?
Shofar blowing. You shouldn't be talking until the end of the shofar blowing.
Well, the 100 kolos, the bracha is chal on all 100 kolos. Same idea, right? It's all 100 kolos. So here also, it's all part of the same mitzvah, but it's better than shofar. Shofar is just more kolos. Here, it's a different part of the avodah where you sing halal on the lulav and esrog. It's an amazing insight. Now, the proof to this is this: how far it goes. What happens if you don't have a lulav and esrog? The pitim fell off the first day, or you just don't have. You don't have, you live in a city where they only had one estric for the whole tzibur. Well, that's not a good example in what I'm about to tell you. So there's a machlekes hapoiskim, if it's better to say halal b'chidus with a lulav and estric, or to say halal b'tzibur without a lulav and estric. If you are of the opinion, like these many, many rishonim, that doing the nanuim in halal with a lulav and estric is a chelik of the mitzvah, it's better to recite halal b'yichidus with a lulav and esrog than to say halal with a tzibur, even though there's no saying halal with tzibur is a big thing. I mean, that's heavy duty. That's berov am hadras melech. Pursuing, the whole reason why I'm saying halal is pursuing mil, pursuing nisa. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and Ani Yaakov, pursuing nisa has to be done with 10 people. But no! The Pesume Nisa is not as important as the Mekayim, the Iker Hadin, the Rai. So the Mitzvah Hayoim is Nanuim with the Dalad Ninim when you make the Bracha and when you recite Halal. So in Echnam, it's Machlekes HaPoiskim, the many Gedolei Yisrael that were of the opinion, and they told their Talmidim, they actually themselves did this, they daven B'Yechidus with a Dalad Ninim instead of davening together with the Tzibur with the Halal. Now in this, there is a fine point. What about if they say halal very slow? Many shuls they sing. There's enough time for five people to shake when they say Hoy Lashem Gitov Kiliyam Chasto. The shot says Hoy Lashem Gitov, and then everyone shakes and they wait. They give everyone a chance to show off what you can do, right? They give it so you can do it quickly, and I can give it to my friend, and my friend to my friend. There's plenty of time, so I'm not going to be holding the esrog for the entire Hallel, but I'll at least be shaking it during the time when I say Hoydu Lashem and Ana Hashem. So what should you do in that situation? Chiluk Edeis. Okay, this is going on another level deeper. Maybe part of this, how far it goes, part of Usmachdem Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem is to hold it the entire time during Hallel. That's how far it goes. You're making a bracha on the tilas luluf to hold the luluf. Usmach them. You should be holding it when you're doing the davar shel simcha. What?
No.
Well, giving for a second, you can give it to someone else for a second. You know. But if you're not going to be holding it, someone else is going to be holding it, and you're only going to get a chance to hold the shake during Chodu, it's not so bad. It could very well be that would already be enough of a pshar that you should talk a daven halal b'tzibur and shake only during Chodu l'Hashem. But it's not as good as holding it the entire time when you're able to mekayim the mitzvah in the shleimus. Yeah.
I know a guy that...
Oh, we can't do that a little bit more of a moment.
I know a guy that held the lulav and
esrog all the way through Musaf. We smacht them. The whole day. They walked around the whole day. In Yerushalayim, the whole day you walk around holding the lulav and esrog. The form of smacht them. The entire Beis HaMikdash. The whole day you walk around holding the lulav and esrog. So this is something...
It's difficult to eat that way.
Someone feeds you.
Tastes very well good.
Okay, so this is in that. Let's go back a step further. Let's go back to an earlier point of the mitzvah. Who says shaking the lulav? I already told you we talk about Hashanis. So that we put aside. That's not part of the mitzvah. During Hallel, it's already machlekes apayskim. Then there are two parts of Hallel. There's the shaking part of Hallel and the not shaking part of Hallel. Okay, so that already we have many heavyweights that hold that taka. That's part of the ikar. Let's go back a step further. Let's say you're going to tell me no, Hallel is not part. Shaking Hallel, it's not part. It's not part of the mitzvah. That's a bone. It's a separate inyan. And the melo, like you said, you can take a break. You can go into the. After shachar is over, you can go and you can go into the house, into the sukkah, and make the bracha, and then you can have a half an hour break. Limud hamusa. We're going to learn musa before we then we say halal, and you can go home, and you can have a kiddush, and we'll daven halal later on. Maybe right, it's a separate mitzvah. Let me ask you a more basic question: what about the shaking of the lulav itself? Is that part of the ikar mitzvah? Let's say I don't want to shake the lulav. I get nervous. I shake the lulav. I feel the whole world is shaking. I shake the lulav. I feel to get dizzy.
I get dizzy.
I don't want to shake the lulav. I just want to hold it.
Just picking it up shakes it.
No, that doesn't. I don't think that's called shaking it. That's not called shaking. I pick up the lulav.
Shaking. When everyone sees it shaking.
Do I have to shake it? You have to, mama, shake it. You have to shake it. You don't have to shake it with sugar, but you have to move it back and forth. No, there's no shear, but you have to at least do a mice of moving. Picking it up is not called shaking. That's called natila. Let's say a person doesn't want to shake. Is he losing out? Is he losing out on the ikar hamitzvah? It's machlekes rishonim. Some say the shaking already is a different get. We're going in stages. Hashanah's out. Shaking during the Dalad, holding it during the Hallel's out. Shaking during Hodu's out. Bechlal shaking, maybe we can do away with that also. Machlekes Rishonim, some taka say it, what? Okay, L'shem Kirigraf and L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud is Kabbalah. It tells you to shake it, of course. Halavai, you do all the miles, everything together. So this itself is also a big Machlekes Rishonim. Some say no. Shaking is not an Ikar Hadin. If it gets you nervous, the person is not, what's in a Chayla. It's not a joke. People are Rahman Slan, people in hospitals and nursing homes, they mamish. So they just barely pick up the Astrid and Lulav is not an Avoid. We know stories like this, yeah?
I've seen people who, when they do those shanas, they don't go like this. They go...
We'll talk about that. That's totally mithogging. That's also called shaking. Just moving it up and down is called shaking. That's called shaking. That's also called shaking. But do you have to exert yourself to shake? So here's what's interesting. There are two rayos in halacha that it's part of the ikar hamitzah. What are the two rayos? One comes along of chinuch. If a child is old enough to hold the lulav, a child that's probably 4 years old, he has enough seichel, you hold the lulav. But does he have enough sophistication to know this way, this way, this way, how to shake it properly? No. There is an age. I don't know what the age is. I have no idea. But there is a point in time when a child is old enough to hold it, enough sophistication to hold it, but not enough sophistication to know how to do the nuim. Is there an inyan of giving of mechanech the child? The answer is no. The answer is no. It's all or nothing. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Kedei l'nanebo, the child has to be sophisticated enough to know how to shake it. If he's not sophisticated to shake it, even though he's sophisticated to hold it, l'shem mitzvah, there's no chinuch. What do you learn from this? Paiskim want to say that is an etzem hamitzvah. It's the etzem hamitzvah. Another raya. What is the size of a lulav? What? The shear. The shear is the shedra, the spine of the lulav has to be three tefachim. And there has to be l'chadchila, the leaves which extend above the spine have to come out one more tefach. Why? Why the leaves need to come out one more tefach? Kedei l'naneaboy. Now let's say you go into the store and you only have lulav that's 3.5. The spine is 3, but the leaves are very small leaves, only half a tefach above the spine. It's not kosher. It's not even kosher b'di'evet. It's pasul afil b'di'evet. Why? If the ikar hadin, the nanum, is not the ikar hamitzvah, it's only a hider in the mitzvah, it's not the ikar hamitzvah, so b'di'evet, a lulav, that's 3 tefachim, the spine is 3 tefachim, should be good enough, because that's the netila. You only need the extra tefach of leaves with kedei l'naneah. The fact that it's pasul afil b'di'evet is an indication that it's an ikar hadin that it's an ikar hadin that you have to actually shake the lulav. Okay, so this far we can at least say that you have to shake the lulav. Now what about women? Now we shake in 6 directions. A difference between minig Ashkenaz and minig Sfad, which really is based upon a lot more than just Ashkenaz and Sfad, it's based upon other inyanim, but we go Ashkenaz, kolpina, shata poineh, lo yehei ela l'yimin. The ikri yisad of minig Ashkenaz is you go to the right. You stand in front of you, forward, right, clockwise, which means to your right side, which is Doraim, and then you go backwards, and then Safad, and then up and then down. What is Minog Sfard? First, I don't even know, I don't do that. First, Doraim, Safoin, front, Mizrach Marv, Doraim, Doraim, Safoin, Mizrach Marv, up and down.
And back. And last.
Back is last? Yeah. Is last, okay.
Up, down, back.
Doraim, Safoin, front?
Front.
Front, up, down, and back.
Yes.
Yes,
that's it.
Mizrach
Myra.
No, it's not Mizrach
Myra.
You're facing this one.
Doraim. First is Doraim. Doraim, Tzafoin, Mizrach, Lamala, Lamata, and back. Okay. It's complicated. See, even here among us, we're in the Koilo, we have trouble. We have trouble with this.
If you are on Kodesh, it's facing south.
Oh, if you are on Kodesh, good question. Okay, the Chiluk Ideas. They have the same.
They sell a compass.
There is such a thing called a virtual Mizrach, which means if the Aron Kodesh, wherever the Aron Kodesh is, as far as you're concerned, that's Mizrach, a virtual Mizrach. There is such a thing. Not everyone agrees to this principle. There's a steer in the Mishnah Berurah as to regard if there's something called a virtual Mizrach. In one place he says yes, one place he says no. So, chiluk ideas, you do what you want. Different shuls have different customs. Whatever you want to do is fine. Okay, but the point is, this is fascinating to me. What about noshim? Do women, I always notice when I give the estric to women, ruba de ruba, not all the time, they don't shake in all directions. They just take it and they shake. I never questioned the women that I have contact with, like, what are you doing? Don't you want, you should, I never argue with them, but I wondered. So Itachi brings down here that women were never makabel. It's taka true. Women were never the whole mitzvah. They're not chayiv in the mitzvah. No. It's man grama. It's man grama. They're not chayiv in shayfer. They're not chayiv in lulav. They're not chayiv. So kedusha not chayiv in. The mitzvah says she has man grama. They're not chayiv in these mitzvahs. They were makabel to do the mitzvah. Shayfer they were makabel. Beli yoytzim and akal they were makabel shayfer. Lulav they were makabel. But women, time immemorial, were never makabel to do all the nananuim.
Chayrim, about women by kohrim.
Some do, some don't. Depends on the shul. No. Some do, some don't. No. I cheated where I dove and I looked up. I wanted to see what they were doing up there. And I saw...
Why is that cheating?
I couldn't really see. I couldn't really get a clear picture. I think some did, some didn't. I couldn't get a clear picture of what was going on up there. Some were very bent over. I don't have anyone to ask there. What? I know in the young Israel, even when we are young Israel, even most of the men didn't do it. And the women, some... What? Shabbos, some don't do it on Shabbos? No. Why not?
No.
Why? I don't know. Women, I know in Young Israel, my mother told me this. Most don't. Some, there were a few that did. There were a few that did, but most don't. I imagine it's like in every shul. Some do and some don't, right?
Some
what?
Some can't.
It's the issue. But there's no men watching.
All right, whatever.
It's not whatever. But the point is, women were never mekabel upon themselves. They're part of legamri. They were never mekabel upon themselves to do all of the nanuim. So in lechatchil, all they do is they take it and they shake it, and that's it. They have to shake in any direction. Good. Cholakavot. There's another minute. They were never mekabel. This is very interesting. Normally, there's another thing. There's another thing very, very interesting. That was, he brings down, women were never mekabel to not eat before doing the mitzvah of lulav. When it comes to shofar, it seems interesting. It seems that to some degree they were. I don't know. I don't get it. It's not clear. Men don't do it anymore either. Men don't do it today anyway because the davening is very long. So we all eat. We all eat. Not all. I say there are many people today who make kiddush before they daven musaf. But that's not a lechatchila. What? That's not a lechatchila. That's not a lechatchila. It's a recent ovation because whatever the reasons are. Let's say we would go back to the Ikar Hadin. Men would not be eating before they blow shofar. Everyone who eats before blowing shofar feels guilty. They should feel guilty. Listen, they have no choice. That's the way it is because of circumstance. That's how it is. But if we would go back to the ideal, men would not be eating. What about women? Would women be makbid not to eat? They don't have to listen to shofar. It's a zman grama. They're makabel. I'm going to listen to shofar. Built into the original takana that women will makabel to hear shofar, will they also makabel to behave like men should have behaved and not eat before blowing shofar? So it seems they were. Shofar, they were more machmir. That if the men would not be eating, the women also would not be eating. Because shofar, you hear shofar before you do anything else. Lulav, it's clear as day, they would never makabel such a chumrah. Women lechatchila can eat, can make kiddush, and can shake lulav and estrog later. There's no hakpada that when you come home, before a woman hears kiddush, she has to shake lulav and estrog. No, you can eat right away, and you can shake lulav and estrog later in the day. That's what it's brought down to the Masorah he quotes here. I don't know what these sources are. That's a chumra. Okay, next question. I was going to say to Jewish before we conclude, but I want to tell you one more. That's what I'm talking about right now. Neitzachama. There is such a minhag. There are a lot of stories about Gedolei Yisrael. They were holding the lulav and estrog in their hand the whole night. They couldn't wait until early in the morning to mekayim the mitzvah. And then it's a shayla of tasav lemen ha'os. You have to put it down first, pick it up. So you do see there is a minhag that many people they shake lulav and estrog in the sukkah before davening. Before davening. So this plugs in. There are many issues with this. There are many issues. The first issue is the first thing that we discussed, and that is when you make a bracha, Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu al netilas lulav, it's also chal upon halel, the shaking of the lulav and the holding of the lulav and eshrog during usmachtem lufnei Hashem elokeichem of halel. If you're going to take the lulav and eshrog and make a bracha in the sukkah netzachama, you're not saying halal until you go to shul. Okay. So you're losing out. It's a chasaron. Okay. You're losing out that the bracha of al netilas lulav is not being said samuch to halal. Okay. And that's a problem. So it's not necessarily a maila to do with netzachama. Unless you want to say that the shaking of the lulav and eshrog has no during halal is no shaychus to the mitzvah. It's a new mitzvah. Because they hold that it's the shaking of the lulav and eshrog is not during halal is not part of the Ikar mitzvah. And it's a separate mitzvah. And we should the chazivos ha-mitzvah, the chazivos, they want to do it as early as possible.
Say halal in the morning as a like tilla?
the morning.
No, it should be said with tzibur. That's not right. You have to say with the bracha, the way halal should be said. You can't have everything. You have to understand something. In halacha, in the world, you can't have everything. If you're going to go have the chavivas hamitzvah of doing it first thing in the morning, you're not going to be able to get the bracha in. You can't. You can't get the bracha in with the bracha, with alatil asluvas and michala. If you're going to, yeah.
The zman of the mikdash.
Yeah. Why not? Who said they didn't? So they maybe did exactly the same thing. They made the bracha on the lulav right before they said the halal. They took the lulav with them to the Beis HaMikdash. I don't know. We don't know what they. Why not? But you can say in the Beis HaMikdash they said halal. Wherever they said halal, they took it with them. They did exactly the same thing that most of us do. They made the bracha right before they said the halal. How would they keep it? When they keep it? They carry it. Okay, so this is the issue. Okay, now there's another halachic issue. Rav Moshe is very strong on this. I was very surprised. This is a real chidushim to me. Is that who says you should take the lulav and esrog first thing in the morning? There's a principle. Tadir v'she'enei tadir tadir kaidim. What do you do first every single day? You daven first. And then, so tadir v'she'enei tadir, you daven first. You have no right. You have no right to do another mitzvah before davening shachris. It's not proper.
You've been learning Torah?
Well, learning Torah is an hachana. That can be, learning Torah is different. That's hachana for davening. When you learn Torah, you should not learn before davening. Also,
get
but this Rav Moshe is very strong on this, and he writes there are many Gedolei Yisrael. He goes through this. They bedaf. We write one particular one that changed.
Then you have a problem with the
midlife crisis.
But it's no break.
What?
Then you have a problem with there's no break, and they're up to hoidu, and you're still saying the broth. You're trying.
Okay, so you can't win it all. You have to find a solution that works for you. Okay, but these are the two major issues. Now, on the other hand, if you're going to do it, if you're going to do the halal, make the bracha before davening, you have a milah. People very much, it became a very popular thing in this generation, to be mekayim the Arizal. The Arizal says you should be mitztarif all the mitzvos, and you should make the lulav and esrog in the sukkah. That's all fine and good. That's all fine and good if you hold that the making of the bracha on the tilas lulav is not shaykh to the halal. Then you can do it in the morning in your sukkah, and even the Beis HaKnesses in some shuls they have a break. They have a very large sukkah. Not every shul can do this, and not every shul has enough space. And you can go to the sukkah. That's nice, but also there's a shtickle hefsek. It's not perfect either, because it's inevitable you're going to be waiting around for a long time. You know, I daven Chaim Berlin, and they have a very long break. It's going to be like a 20-minute break sometimes. 20-minute break between halal. Everyone goes, the whole place files out, and there's a lot of people, and there's not all that big, and not everyone is so swift, and you got to go, and it takes time. You come, people very quick.
For those people,
you could sit alone for 20 minutes.
Make the bracha by halal.
Before
you do it till in the morning, you don't have that problem.
Well, no, but you're losing out. You're losing out of not saying the bracha. There's no solution that works for everyone. You have to pick and choose what you like. Okay, this is... In the sukkah. So some say that's not a nailah to have in the sukkah because the Beis HaKnesses has more kedusha than the sukkah. You daven in the Beis HaKnesses. The Beis HaKnesses is a mokum miyuchet for kedusha, for tefillah, for halal. The sukkah has its nailahs. It's not the same as the Beis HaKnesses. Talks about that. Okay, so Echamami, yeish v'yeish. It's all good. Everything is good. It's just you have to know, you have to look at all the big picture. Alright, I want to conclude with a short drush. Maybe if you have time, maybe two, well, at least one drush. I want to conclude with the drush of this, discussing this idea of the Arizal. The Arizal is became very popular. I remember the first time I heard of it, I was so overwhelmed. Wow, what a beautiful thing to combine the mitzvos that you bedavka should make a bracha with the lulav and esrog in the sukkah. I grew up my whole life and never even put the two together. There's a lulav and esrog in the sukkah. Ma'in, shmita, it's a lot of Sinai. No, there's an inyan to go and make the bracha in the sukkah. What's that all about? Where does it come from? So I want to tell you the following. First of all, the lulav and the mefarshim, the acharonim tell us that the lulav and esrog and the sukkah really represent two extreme opposites. The sukkah, ayin panim l'tara, but one of the mahalachim of Sukkah, it represents golos. Skolos. That in fact, that's one of the reasons why we go after Yom Kippur, in case chas v'shol was nigzar and klal yisrael, that we are deserving of golos. So going into the Sukkah should be the token fulfillment of the gzera, and we should no longer suffer golos. I'll tell you a beautiful word. There was a chassidish rebbe. I don't remember the name, but one of the big chassidish rebbes, that he made a Sukkah, and his Sukkah, he made use of every kula he can find in Shulchan Aruch. There was Daifin Akuma, and it was Lovod, and it was
two walls
in the Mashahu. He came up with the Lamdashuch Kulas that no one even could imagine, to put together a Sukkah like he never saw before. Why did he do this? What are you trying to outsmart? Smart Shulchan Aruch? Because he lived and breathed this chazal that the Sukkah is golos. That in Chas v'Shalom was nigzar and klal yisrael golos, so we should go into golos. In golos, he's saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're not looking for chumras. We're not looking to be in golos for 2,000 years and to suffer a stark golos. Golos should be lakula. It should be an easy golos. It should be with pleasure, comfort, with tainugim. You don't have to be machmer in the derech of golos. I told a story to someone, so I'll tell you a story just the opposite. Rabbi Heinemann Shlit in Baltimore, he's the head of the Star case, tremendous Talmud Chacham, he's an Ilui. So when he was a Bacha, he learned in Lakewood. He learned in Lakewood, and when he was a young man, he lived in Lakewood. And he made on his front lawn, you know, he's an Elisha person, he made on his front lawn, for fun, a Lamdash Sukkah. That he made use of every single kula that he can find in Shulchan Aruch. Rav Aaron Koller, Zatzal, was walking past this house and saw the Sukkah. He saw the Sukkah. And he instructed him to take it down immediately. He says, you're setting a bad example. You're setting a bad example for Lakewood. For people shouldn't get the wrong idea. It's a zilzal in the midst of Sukkah to have such a Sukkah like this. Okay, so you see me, Kotzah, La Kotzah, you should have a Sukkah with all the chumras and a Sukkah with all the kulas. Okay, but Sukkah represents goals. What do the Dalamin represent? The Dalamin represent Nitzachon. It represents we have prevailed. We've gone through the Yomim Noroim, we've battled with the Satan, we've battled with all our accusing angels, and we've overcome and we have prevailed. And Chazal said, when you come to Sukkot, you take weapons. It's like a march. So when the war is over, the soldiers may have a parade, a triumphant march. They walk down the street with their weapons and their cannons. We have prevailed. It represents Nitzachon. It's a contradiction. So what is Sukkot? Mitzad echad, golos. We lost. We failed. Miserable failure. We go into golos. Mitzad shei, mitzad acher, nitzachon. What's going on? A contradiction. Say nechanam, and the Mepharshim says, some say that the Sukkot is for the hamoinam, and the lulav v'neshek for the tzaddikim. That when we take the lulav v'neshek, then we celebrate in the nitzachon of the tzaddikim that prevail, that have achieved great things on the Yom Narayim. But if the Hamoinam, but this Golas is Golas. So everyone, we're all in it together. There's Hamoinam, there's Tzadikim, everyone is a little bit of a mixture of both. And the Shtikl Beinuni and the Shtikl Tzadik, so that it represents two Sukk. That's one Mahalach. Another Mahalach is, let's leave that Mahalach, but there's a concept in the Arizal of taking the Dalet Minim into the Sukkah. What are you doing when you're taking the Dalet Minim into the Sukkah? You're saying is, we're being Minatzeach over the Golos. It's taka true. It's not that there's one or the other. We live in a very complicated world. We live in Golos. As far as Golos is concerned, the whole Klal Yisrael has failed. After all, we're all living in Golos. We're all in it together. But as far as a personal Nitzachon, every single person that comes out of the Yom Narayim has succeeded to some degree. You take your Darga of Nitzachon and you bring it into the Sukkah and you make a Bracha and you say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the same way I was in my personal life, in my personal Yom, I was Minatzeach I succeeded. This success should be contagious, should overflow into galus, and should bring us out of the galus. The nitzachon of my personal life should be also be used to be minatzech of the communal galus. Now, that's all fine and good when you take the little vinestrik into the sukkah. But there's something else much deeper. Now let me give you a small background, almost finished, small piece of background. When do we shake the lulav and estrog during challah? Hoidu la Hashem, the ikar time is hoidu la Hashem ki tov ki li olam chasta. In Perek Shira, who is the creature that sings to HaKadosh Baruch Hu shavach of hoidu la Hashem ki tov ki li olam chasta? The Leviathan. The Shira Shel Leviathan is Hoidu La Hashem. What is the Leviathan? The Leviathan is the, I don't know how to say this, is the Sukkah. The sukkah's Leviathan represents the Shlemus of the Sukkah.
The ultimate Sukkah.
Go. The ultimate Sukkah is the Leviathan. That's the Leviathan. Put all the tzaddikim in the sukkah of Leviathan. When the galus will come to an end. The ultimate galus. What are we doing when we shake? When you go to the Beis HaKnesses, you don't go to the sukkah. You never heard such a thing in Shulchan Aruch that you should daven in the sukkah. Unheard of. Maybe today, due to Baruch Hashem, our wealth, affluence, we're able to have a Beis HaKnesses. But that's not what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Never do no such hasaga to go daven in a sukkah. It didn't exist such a hasaga. You go to the Beis HaKnesses to daven. And what do you do? What do you do in the Beis HaKnesses? You take the lulav during halal and you shake it during Chodul Hashem. You know what you're doing during halal? You're taking the sukkah into the lulav. Because Chodul Hashem ki toiv ki li'olam chasto is the shira of Leviathan. And the Leviathan is the ultimate sukkah. And that's bedavka when you shake your dalid minim. Just like the Arizal says. You take the dalid minim and you bring it to the sukkah. And you make the bracha in the sukkah. Beautiful minog. That your success should also prevail over the galus. You do the reverse. You take the sukkah, the kedusha of the sukkah, which is captured in the ultimate sukkah of Leviathan, and you bring it to the Beis HaKnesses, and you shake the lulav and estrog. You're being mekayim the Arizal, and the opposite means when you shake.
Why it's better to do it early in the morning, then you can mekayim both.
We discussed that. That's not so simple. They're two different inyanim. Going both, you can be kind of that weasel after that. All the place can say is, even if you can't do it, you want to make the bracha, which I think is ideal. You should really make the bracha on the tilas lulav right before you say halal, because that's halacha. And then later, you go into the sukkah and you shake it in the sukkah, but that's Kabbalah. Halacha always comes before Kabbalah. That's how you say it. And Arizal is a Kabbalah inyan, and making the bracha, the hiddur of making the bracha is a halacha inyan. So l'chayr it's better, there shouldn't be any hefsek. If you have a sukkah near, you have a sukkah near the Beis HaKnesses, and you can do it very quickly, then in a chanami. But if you go, Hanetz HaChama is a new thing, not a new thing, but also there's a pile of tadir, that's not so partial to do it in that fashion. Alright, let's go back, going back. But now what's the point of here, and then here's the point, what's the meaning of this? What's going on over here? So we're going into the sukkah, and we're taking the sukkah to the low. What's the deeper meaning? So there's a very interesting issue. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create a world with his galus? There's a purpose of galus. The purpose of galus is to be mekatu, to elevate what the Kabbalists call the nitzotzes. By going in, by Klal Yisrael being in America, you don't think we being in America has a major impact upon the goyim? Every guy also has a shtickle kedusha. There's also a nitzitz of kedusha. And when they see, and the fact that an Orthodox Jew lives in their environment, and they take note, there's a trickle-down effect. The trickle-down effect to the America, to every country in the world, is affected by the kedusha of Klal Yisrael being in their land. And there are gerim, and there are different things that happen in the world which are only because of Klal Yisrael, and it increases a really in Kavod Shamayim. That is the goal of galus. That is the advantage of galus. The silver lining in galus is we have been dispersed to the world. to elevate, to pick up these sparks of holiness that are lost. So here's the question. But what would have happened if we would have not have sinned? What would have been if Klal Yisrael would be living in Yerushalayim, sheltered behind closed walls, and doing the Avodah, and living private life? How would the world come to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How would Klal Yisrael serve as an Or LaAmim? So the Mefarshim tell us...
When the traders would trade and they would come to the city...
But why would they...
See, what's the God of these people?
But why would they want to come trade? There's enough commerce in the world not to get involved. Boycott, divestment, all these things. There's enough in the world not to come.
Rashi says that by Zevulun.
So here's what the Mefarshim tell us. It's a very powerful concept. In the world, there's something called the magnet. A magnet is a koyach. It's here. And a magnet has this pull where something at a very great distance is naturally drawn. When Klal Yisrael, Bizman Shei Yisrael Oysim, Ritzon Yisrael Mokom, their Kedusha is so great, they have the ability to sit in Yerushalayim, not to walk out, an Oyla Tanima, not to walk out of the walls of Yerushalayim, and the Kedusha is so powerful that the Umal Sa'olam just, what's going on? What's going on behind that Yerushalayim? We gotta go. And again, they come, they see it. They're naturally pulled to Eretz Yisrael to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'ro kol am Eretz ki Hashem Hashem nevi lech v'yar b'meka. But when Klal Yisrael have done averos, they've lost their koyach. They're no longer drawing people in like a magnet. Oh, you've done averos. You've lost your magnetic pull. Plan B. So you know what? Golos, I'm going to send you out. I'm going to send you out. So when you go out, then you'll be in their community, in proximity to the non-Jews. Then they'll learn from you. So ideally, it would be that we should do Hashem's Ratzon, and we can be in Eretz Yisrael, and we would draw them in through a magnetic pull. But being that we're not on that Madrega, we have no choice for there to be Golos, we have to go out. These two differences is the difference between going into the sukkah and making a bracha versus going to the Beis HaKnesses and shaking the lulav neshek when you say Hodu Lashem Kitov Kilielom Chasto during Hallel. When you go to the Beis HaKnesses and you shake the lulav neshek Hodu Lashem Kitov Kilielom Chasto, you know what you're doing? I'm in the Beis HaKnesses. I'm in the Mikdash Ma'at. And I have magnetic pull. When I shake my lulav and esrog, I'm bringing the koyach of what Golos accomplishes by staying right here. By shaking my lulav and esrog, I'm pulling in all of the nitzaitzes of the world into the Mokom HaMikdash. By shaking my lulav and esrog, Hoydu Lashem, the shira of the sukkah shel Leviyasa. But unfortunately, we don't spend the whole day in the Beis HaKnesses because we're not in that Madrega. So we go to the Sukkah. We go into the Sukkah. In the Sukkah, we also shake the lulav and esrog. And there, we're taking the Kedusha that's going to be later on. We're not in that Madrega, so we have to bring the Kedusha to the Arba out to the world. This is the parallel to the Arizal. Arizal, we go to the sukkah. In the Beis HaKnesses, you bring the sukkah to you because of the pasuk Hodu Lashem, the Shir Shel Leviyasan. It represents these two concepts, the magnetic pull versus the requirement of Golus to go out to the world and pick up the Nitzaita Shel Kedusha. With that, we will conclude.